You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Because I accidentally mute myself and then it mutes you and then I unmuted it and then I muted it again. I'm absolutely killing it. Hello, everyone. This is RBLR Sun FC. My name is Liz. I am a professional. And this is JD. He's special to the pod.
I was going to say you're special to the pod. Maybe we're just special on the pod, you know?
Yeah, there we go.
How are you doing, Liz?
I had a good fan appreciation night. Nice. Regardless of the score it was a pretty fun night. I have to hand it to all the kids we had in the heat wave section who were constantly being like, okay, what do we play next? Okay, what do we play next? And I was like, oh, I have to capo.
That's how,
because JD wasn't there, Brent wasn't there. I had to capo. It was a terrifying thought. I realized it like 3 minutes in. Oh, that's my job.
Yes. Well, you know, every once in a while, the manager's got to step up when you got multiple people out. You got
to
step in.
I just wanted to support a women's soccer team and then have pink be one of the colors. I said nothing about making loud noises myself.
Well, that's how I personally do soccer, even in my own house. So
that's fair. I do scream at the TV a lot.
Yes.
I screamed a lot at my TV watching this game.
Yes. I screamed a little bit at my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
Watching this game. Watching this game back.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in town. I was up in Chicago. So I have two quick anecdotes to share that are Sun related. I wouldn't just like yap about my trip. Yeah, I went to Chicago for a concert. It was great. Anyways, I did go to a Chicago Fire game. That's not one of the anecdotes. We were at a White Sox game at the same time as the Sun game on Saturday night. And I was debating which hat I should wear because I have this Rays hat and I usually wear it, my home team stuff if I'm visiting. You know, I wore a Mutiny jersey to the Fire game. So at the Rays game or at the White Sox game, I'm wearing a Rays jersey, but I opted to wear this hat because the jersey and the hat logo are the same. And I'm like weird about that. I'm like, I don't want it to have the same logo on. But anyways, I'm wearing my Sun hat and I didn't notice them do it. But a couple minutes later, the family next to us, a mother and son, tapped me on the shoulder and they're like, hey, we just Googled Tampa Bay Sun because of what's on your hat. And we're moving to Tampa next month. And now we know they exist and we're going to go to games because they love going to sports games together as mother and son. I think he's still in high school and they're moving to Tampa and they're like, how lucky is this that we're sitting right next to a Tampa sports fan for one, or a Tampa local in general. And then also the fact that I got to put them onto the Sun. So that is a reminder to always wear your gear and rep because you never know who you're going to run into. You might make some Sun fans out of it. And they're going to be living right near downtown. So I'm like, that's a super easy trip for you. You should be at every game 100%. So we'll see. We didn't even exchange numbers. I don't even know their names. So they might come over to the Heatwave section at a game. I was like, I will be in the supporter section. You absolutely can come over and say hi. So we'll see next season if they take me up on that. But that was kind of fun. We got to have a good chat about Tampa sports and women's sports overall. And the other thing that happened blew me away. And I haven't told you this, Liz, but it's kind of a fun.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There's the surprise.
I was in the crowd at Disclosure. This is the concert that we went up there for. Their house DJ is out of the UK. They're on their live tour. That's all I'm going to say about it. In the crowd, Tia, my wife, and I were taking photos of ourselves with the stage before the show, just, you know, a little selfie moment. And a guy comes up to us and he's like, hey, let me take the picture for you. And I'm like, oh, dude, thanks, man. That's pretty cool. Hand him the phone. He takes pictures for us. They came out great. He's a great photographer. And I compliment his jersey. He is wearing an Orlando Pirates jersey. If you are not familiar, Orlando Pirates are a South African professional soccer team. And anyone who lives in Central Florida and was into soccer before 2016, MLS was not in FIFA, but you would play as Orlando Pirates because that was like the closest thing we had to representation because there are no American teams in the game. So I definitely know who the Orlando Pirates are, but he was astounded that I knew who the Orlando Pirates are. And we got chatting and he is South African. And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to the South Africa World Cup game. He's like, I might see you there. So that's cool. But beyond that, he's actually an analyst for soccer teams. And he currently works for a USL League 2 team. And I was like, yeah, we're from Tampa. And he's like, oh, you have the Rowdies down there. And I was like, yeah, but actually I'm like a Sun season ticket holder. I'm at every one of those games. And he goes, oh yeah, the Sun. I like them. I like their captain, Jordan Listro.
Oh,
what?
Okay.
And he goes, yeah. And you guys
got a name drop too.
You got that winger, that MVP winger, right? And I'm like, yeah, Sidney Nasello. He's like, yeah. Oh, and you have that goalkeeper that's on the Jamaican national team. I was like, what the hell, bro? How do you know all this shit? So, certified God-fearing ball knower from South Africa to Bogo. I love you. I'm so glad we met. We did exchange numbers. Nice. I'm going back to Chicago soon. Hopefully we can break bread and have a meal together and hang out a little bit more. Cause then after that, the concert started and then you're just like standing awkwardly next to a person that you think might be your best friend for 2 hours while you listen to music. We do like the same type of music, obviously. So that was cool. But yeah, I just happened to see him in the crowd. I knew his team, which was a little bit ball knower, you know, as he is an Orlando Pirates fan, but the fact that he name dropped at least one, he did name Jordan Listro, and then I helped him with the names, but mm-hmm. He knew information about at least two other players. It was a crazy moment. He's a cool guy, very fun to talk to. We just were yapping basically up until the show started. So yeah, Tobogo, shout out, my boy. And hopefully we'll be able to see each other soon. Maybe we'll see each other in Atlanta as well for the South Africa game, but that is crazy. It was crazy because we went all the way up to Chicago. And so in two nights in a row, I got to rep the Sun to random people. So, and I'm like, dude, if you're ever in Tampa, bro, I got you ticket to a game, anything you want to do. That's crazy. So there are ball knowers out there. And the Sun is on the radar somewhere. So that's pretty cool.
I love soccer, man.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It was very cool. It was a great trip. The Chicago Fire is, at Soldier Field, is a pretty fun environment, Sector Latino. They're a pretty fun supporters group, and they got smashed that game, and the energy was still really good. So I enjoyed that as well. And the White Sox are, for the first time since 2022, don't have a negative record as of today. So shout out the White Sox too, I guess. They're historically terrible. But speaking of historically terrible,
wait, I thought of something. I got to go, because it's Rowdies, but it's related. It was really, really interesting. If you're just a soccer fan, you just love the game. I got to go to, and the name of the theater is like escaping me now, but I got to go see the Clyde Best movie. He, for people who don't know, he played for the Rowdies. He also played for West Ham for a very long time. And he was the first Black player in the Premier League, which it wasn't the Premier League at the time, but like first Black player in the top flight of English soccer. And it's called Clyde Best Transforming the Beautiful Game. And I highly recommend, if you get a chance to see it, if you, you know, I don't know, I think it's still touring right now. I think it's going to be at some film festivals. I don't know what any kind of distribution is going to be, but trust me, when it is available, I will let people know. It was really, really good. It's so well done. And Clyde Best has just a beautifully somewhat tragic, but like just turns out so well. And he's such a nice guy. We were talking afterwards with him and a bunch of the other former Rowdies players who came. It was such a good time and a great movie. So highly recommend, if you get a chance, Clyde Best Transforming the Beautiful Game.
That's lit. Yeah. We're truly on our ball knower stuff lately.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're connecting over these kinds of positivity around the sport, because there might not be that much positivity around our team right now, including Saturday's result, which I have now watched back. The things I do for this pod, you know, I knew I had to watch it back. Liz, how do we shape up on Saturday? How did that, or actually before that, we played Dallas. I can give context. They were on 34 points before the game. Sun were on 24. The only notable thing about the Sun is that we were above Fort Lauderdale by 1 point. That's it. That's all we have. So,
yes, and I have specifically requested from the Dallas supporters group that they kick Fort Lauderdale's butts next Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, I have a little write-up of possibilities at the end when we preview next game of what is possible for the Sun all the astounding possibilities available to us at the bottom of the table, based on the results of decision day, which is, it's only slightly decision day. There is a team that's not locked playoffs. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. But going into this game, Liz, now, how did you line up?
So we were kind of doing like a 3-4-3. We still really had Connors like up top, if you want to get like real technical, but generally we were in a 3-4-3 format with Giamona, Connors, and Nocello up top, McNeil, Listro, Helferty, and Haugen as our midfield, and then Chisholm, Bissett, Hendricks as our defense, and Beardsley in goal. On the bench, we had Brian, Guyard, Pokorny, Provo, Shimkin, Weber, and Wegner. I'm not using first names anymore because, well, I guess I shouldn't be mean to new listeners, but if you're new to the Sun, sorry.
Yeah, it seems like we are settling into a rhythm with these players. So it makes me think that the players we may be keeping are in these lists. And if a player that you like has not been included in the lineup or subs in the past couple weeks, and they aren't injured, there is a possibility, a distinct possibility, that we may not be looking at keeping them. There's also plenty of players in this lineup and subs that we also probably are not keeping, but we don't know the terms of contracts. The USL overall never seems to release them. So, but yes, it seems like we are kind of settled into a rhythm with who we have here, and anyone outside of that, you know, we do still have the kind of supportive practice team. So there are players that may be just on the practice team more frequently, and they still are in process of building up and getting more experience there. And we have had a couple people from that team join the main team, but think of it like that when you think about the Sun roster and as we go into next year before we release anybody.
And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, well, my hope, not to say that I don't love a couple players that are here, many of the players that are here as people and as influencers on Instagram, but my hope is that every single position is improved. That is not offensive to any of our players. They gave it their best in different circumstances. And we saw from Tosh Flint, this is what I'm going to use this example. We saw Tosh Flint play at this level and produce almost nothing for us. And now she's in NWSL and she is one of the top scorers.
On the same list as Barbara Banda.
Yeah, so
like that's
it's just clear. And Tasha obviously has her own personal journey as part of that too. She's having like kind of a renaissance. So that is part of it. But all of these players could be good in the right system. And this is not that system. And based on what they've shown, we want to cycle a lot of people out and get something fresh going next year. I think the coaching staff feels the same way, that it just needs to be fresh. We can't band-aid this. There needs to be like a turnover. So it sucks because we do like a lot of the players, but my nudge is that if you don't see a player in this list that you like and they're not injured, don't expect to see them next year, theoretically.
Prepared to have your heart broken.
Yes, but you can still follow them at your new at their new team, and you can do the cheesy hope they do well, but everyone ultimately loses of when you have a favorite player on a rival team. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on that. It's a bummer.
Also a bummer, the beginning of this game.
We're so good at transitions.
Amazing, truly. So I'll get to the bummer in literally 1 minute. So first minute, Jordy is already beating up the children. Seely Strawn really got the short end of the stick on many, many tackles. I don't know if that's just due to her short stature. Maybe she does need to hit the weight room. I don't know, but ooh, she took a beating. And then immediately gets us back because Dallas score in the goddamn second minute.
Yeah.
All right. Dory gets the ball off of Jasmine Hamid, but it falls back to Dallas. Amber Wisner plays it to Cam Lancaster, takes a quick touch, sends it to Samar Goodry, who sends it to the back post.
Yeah. McNeil just gets beat here kind of twice. It's a double through ball, so there's like one. It looked like coming from Hamid originally that it was going to go all the way through to Guidry. Brooks intercepts it, so I think that tripped up McNeil, who's like expecting the ball to come near her, and then she's like, "Where'd it go?" And another player has it. Not Brooks again. Sorry. then it's passed up again, and this is like the true through ball that gets around McNeil. So I hated to see it, but it was kind of a tricky play. I don't think it's like a run play. I think that Amber just happened to be standing there and the ball came past her and she was like, oh, I have an opportunity to make this a little bit more stuttery, take a possession, get another pass off. Guidry's in the right position and it is an excellent finish. So I can't even knock Beardsley here. McNeil doesn't get in front of it enough. She just got beat. It's going to happen every once in a while to a defender. It really sucks to happen in the second minute of a game, but we didn't get like worked. We just didn't wake up soon enough at the beginning of this game. We weren't pressuring as heavily and Dallas came out and very clearly, and this is the next 10 minutes or so, even Dallas came out clearly with this intention of dominating as much as they could. And obviously it was really effective and we might've been caught sleeping a little bit. And it was McNeil ultimately that let her get the shot off. And I don't think Beardsley could have really done much about it once it got past McNeil. So, it's one that's going to happen every once in a while in a season. It just has happened a lot to us. So,
yeah, I guess you could say we weren't activated.
All right, buddy.
I didn't see this too much more during the match, but like 5 minutes in, I don't like that I was seeing Nocello like kind of being a ball hog, but not in a good way. You can see Listro like asking for it multiple times. And then she passes to Haugen who then catches Henny off guard. She wasn't ready for it. Cam Lancaster comes, steals it off of her. Henny makes up for it. Henny makes up for it. But like, it's not good.
Yes. We just had such a slow start here. We just looked so sleepy just to begin. And I think that Nocello it's been like burned into her brain that she has to do everything. And so she doesn't look for options. And we saw this a little bit last year, but she had some options last year that really effectively converted for her, especially Flo. So, this year she hasn't, you know, Shea Connors hasn't been with the team for a long time. Faith Weber hasn't been converting when she, receives crosses. So I feel like Nocello is like, I gotta do it. I gotta get it in there. I gotta get the shot. And while that may be the case pretty frequently, it's not the case all the time. But like I said, I think it's just burned into her with this current roster that she's going to be the one who has to do all the work. And that's how you end up with her doing this a couple times a game. And I think it always feels like she does it after we're trying to make up for something. And so like we gave up an early goal, we have a slow start. And then she's like, oh, I got to do it. You know, I got to be the one to step in. And it's like, you don't necessarily, it's not like everyone on your team doesn't care that you just conceded, but that is maybe a character flaw that I identify with Sydney Nocello is just selfishness because she is that good and she can ball out, but like, it's easier if you pass every once in a while too. So yes, Mona has decided now is the moment to climb. Okay. I guess I'm just going to hold her. You'll do the rest of the recap. I can't scroll down anymore.
Okay. Wow, she really just... So, if you're not watching us on YouTube, you are missing out on Mona, which is JD's cute little void with eyes.
This is the most Mona ever on pod, I think.
Absolutely. She's trying to like, she's doing the thing that I like to call cats, like they want to be like in your skin. That's how close they want to be to you. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's probably.
She keeps rubbing on your beard. It's
she so can cute. Stay here as long as she wants, honestly.
This is really precious. We have a lot of plays that I could read, but like they didn't amount to anything. So it feels like, I hate to say like wasted energy, but a little bit. we get a couple of shots off. Shea Connor's really trying to do the work. Same with Giamona. Beardsley does make a great save in the 14th minute. Jasmine Hamid rips a shot from the D. Beardsley has to get to the top of the bar to knock it out. I have to give her that one for sure. Like, that was a amazing save that would have gone in otherwise. A couple of minutes later, tragedy strikes. Dori Haugen goes down hard and visibly distressed and upset. And we do know that she is on the injury list for Saturday's match because we are recording a little bit later in the week. The game notes have already come out, so we were able to see that. There's been no news. I don't love that. I don't think she's updated her Instagram like at all in a week. I don't like that. That makes me very worried.
At least she didn't black out her profile pic, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
That would be really. Yeah.
So she goes down for a while. The 23rd minute, Jilly comes on for Haugen. And then 5 minutes later, 27th minute, Dallas gets their second and final goal. From their own goal kick, guys, they had to bring it all the way from one end to the other. And we just like didn't. Very frustrating run of play to watch. Midfield is sitting really low for some reason, and their forwards are ahead of us. Henny, okay, and we've been very critical of Henny in the past. Henny is coming up from midfield, or coming up past midfield, excuse me, to do something, because nobody is doing anything. We're all ball watching. Chisholm, for whatever reason, does not slide tackle Cameron Lancaster. I have no idea why. She had the time. She well outside the box. She might have gotten a regular foul. She might have gotten, I don't know if she's gotten a yellow card yet.
I don't think she
gets. Yeah, I think she does get a yellow card at some point. But she might have gotten a yellow card for it, whatever, would have stopped this at least. Beardsley got some glove on it, but there was so much speed on the ball that there was nothing she could have done. Once she separates from Chisholm, Cameron Lancaster, Chisholm can't do anything, and she shoots because she's in the box. You're not going to do that. You're going to get a PK.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it looks very similar to the first goal. She makes that run. Yeah. It's not on a through ball, but it's almost from the same angle as Guidry, and she just gets it around Chisholm. Like you said, Chisholm didn't step to it as much as she could have. There was a little bit of a hesitation there. And then this one is closer to Beardsley. She theoretically could have got a hand on it. I don't necessarily really blame her for this one either. It was a little bit closer to her. I think it might even go through between her hands, but it had a lot of pace on it too. I mean, it was kind of hit pretty hard. So, you know, even her deflecting it, there's still a good chance it'll end up in the back of the net somehow either way. So, yeah, just another like kind of caught sleeping moment for me. And the other side of that is that Dallas is just a team in form pushing for something. They have something to play for. And I'm not saying we've given up, but there's definitely a mental difference when your season's already over versus when you are actively trying to defend, you know, your playoff spot. So that is just, they're gonna find a window in a situation like that, that our defender isn't going to shut down because of just kind of the state that our teams are in and how they push for those kinds of things. And this isn't to say, like you already referenced, that we didn't have chances before this. I wanted to actually call back to Shea Connor's chance. This was a really great through ball from Giamona. And she cut back, Shea Connor's cut back in the box, lost the ball. She cut back successfully, then lost the ball, trying to like push it to herself, and got like run into and still recovered and got a shot off. Like, that was a great opportunity to, of like an individual stepping up, trying to make something happen. It was really close to a goal. It just missed wide on the post. So to me, like, you know, that we definitely can still be in these situations. And, you know, that if Connors was a little bit closer, it could have been 1-1 at this point. But I just, and especially our defense, I just feel like they were sleeping this game. I mean, this was one of the worst games I've seen out of McNeil you know, she got subbed. Haugen obviously went out injured. You know, I hope I didn't see anything quality wise out of her before her injury that was particularly notable. So I'm not going to say that she had a bad game. I mean, obviously bad mentally when you get injured like that, but I didn't like what I saw from Hendricks. I thought Bissett was okay. But Chisholm here just didn't step to it. And it's like, if your defenders aren't having a good day, it doesn't really matter what the rest of your team ends up doing, cause you lose out on situations like this. So, yeah, that was pretty frustrating to know that it's like we gave up almost the exact same goal again, and they were just able to run it in and be successful.
Bissett, I want to say, was probably one of the only ones like really reading the game, because another thing I didn't read earlier, but like Bissett at one, like in the seventh minute or whatever, just boots the ball from like a 50-yard ball at that point. And so she was already reading, oh, this whole like just passing and passing and passing is not gonna, we're just gonna have to boot it at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. We sent the ball upfield a lot, actually. And I think that served us well for the rest of the game, but
yeah,
we had already given up the goals by that point. And yeah, going forward from this point into the rest of the half, Dallas doesn't have any more significant chances. They do have a chance like right towards the end, I think, that you'll get into. But I also want to like say with a caveat, like we looked a little bit better, but Dallas also took their foot off the gas. They pushed four right in the first 20 minutes. They pushed, they got their two goals. And while that's a dangerous lead to have in soccer, they did enough, you know, in especially the start of the second half to ensure that they would keep it. And so for the rest of this first half, like we looked better. We looked more defensively sound. We looked like we had a couple chances as well. And I like that's almost fictitious. Like it's almost not real because Dallas, like I'm not saying wasn't trying, but like Dallas wasn't pushing like they were. Like they know they're playing a playoff team. If Dallas is playing Lexington or Jacksonville, they don't give up at 2-0. You know, they keep pushing. Yeah. They know they're playing us and they know our record and they have scouting on us. And they know that, you know, if we get scored on first, we don't have a great conversion rate from there. So, yeah, that was pretty much how the rest of the half went, other than right before halftime. Right, Liz?
Yeah. So, Shay Connors again in the 45th plus five. She muscles off a couple players, takes a decent shot, but it's right at the center of the keeper again. But I do have to commend her because the keeper had like a visible oof. So a lot of power on that shot. I have to give her that. Nice. 2 minutes later, 45th plus seven, Jasmine Hamid with another just run up the left wing, cut in, take a shot. Chisholm does make an on-the-ground save, and Carly chases it down so that Celie Strawn is cut off. So like you said, a lot more defensively sound. Even if the ball is still getting up to our final third, we're doing something about it, which is nice. I just wish we had done it earlier.
Yeah.
And then Shay Connors with another shot, 45th plus eighth. She does good work to get the ball all the way to the end line, plays in like a waist height cross to the penalty spot but looking back, like a high cross to the back post is what Carly would have needed at the time to capitalize on. And that might just be something that she's new and doesn't know, like all the plays that Carly does best with. That might come in time. Since they're both starting now, they might still be here come next year. So hopefully that'll be a little more nailed down. And that is halftime.
Yeah.
All right. So the Sun have three shots, one on target, 38% of the ball, one corner, two offside, and one yellow. So actually that might have been. Was it Helford who got a yellow?
I think it was Helford or Listro.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was Chisholm for some reason. Dallas, two goals, five shots, four on target, which is kind of what you expect from a team trying to clinch playoffs. They had the other 62% of the ball. They had two corners and one yellow.
I can confirm it was Listro after a very covert, obvious check of my phone. Thank you. Yeah, I think overall it was a slow start. That's all I can say about the first half. Otherwise, it looked like, well, this is depressing. It looked like Sun football, which is 0-0, and the ball just goes back and forth in the middle of the field. But yeah, it looked a little bit different in the second half though. And
which is kind of funny. It's one of the notes I have later on. It's, we added an attacking player. We took McNeil off and we bring Pokorny on. And then we get a second half clean sheet. Like you said, they did take the foot off the gas, but like, still.
Playing offense is the best defense though. Like truly having more of the ball, having more opportunities technically leaves you open, but Dallas isn't necessarily a counterattacking team. They like their build-up play. So us leaving it more open, literally just having more of the ball is better in that situation. So we did play a little bit more possession in the second half, and we did get a little bit more going on in terms of like getting shots and working some plays. So I think that is just that, is that we played more offense, and that allowed us to hold the ball longer. If you just play to absorb pressure, you're going to give the ball away in midfield every time. They're going to have a million chances on you and get goals. So, but I also want to say we took Haugen off too. So we had already made almost two kind of more defensive substitutions for attack. We had already made the Shimkin for Haugen. So that's like basically the same sub for me as Pokorny coming on for McNeil. And we kind of played like a three back light winger situation, which is kind of weird, but I mean, I guess on paper it worked, you know?
So like I said, we did bring Pokorny on. We took McNeil off. 47th minute, Nocello is trying to make something happen and getting beat up for her troubles. Poor Nocello. I would really like to see if she is the most fouled player. And then the commentators come in with this fun fact. We've had 32 different players for the Sun this year. That's too many. That's a lot of injuries.
And it never worked the whole time.
Not once.
It worked against Fort Lauderdale. But
yeah, okay. Once. Twice.
Well, but it always, you could put anybody out there against Fort Lauderdale right now. And
yeah, that's true. So. Yeah. Nocello gets a shot, but it goes straight to the keeper's hands. So new complaint with Liz Beardsley. Why does she always punch the ball? Why does she not smother the ball? Why does she not catch the ball? Amber Wisner has a dangerous shot that Beardsley does keep from going in. I'll give her that. But it doesn't totally clear it. And we clear it out, thank God. But I don't know why she didn't just fall on this. Like, I don't understand.
To me, it seemed like it was down. So she, to her side, to clarify. So I have a
fall
little bit
on it.
No, I have a different view on this. I don't think she could get to it to fall on it confidently. So I think her best, it's like a hockey save. Like her best chance was to just knock it away with like her arm out. She does go to ground for it, but I think if she went to jump on it, she leaves herself at a disadvantage because if she does bobble it, she can't get back to her feet as quickly. So if it does spill to another attacking player, then she's not going to be able to like square up to it, where if she can hit it like away, at least it's a little bit further away and she's still on her feet to reposition. So I saw this a little bit differently. I like last game, last show, we talked about her like putting a free kick out for a corner or whatever happened. And it was like, we didn't even have to give up a corner there. And we did. That's an instance where I think she could have caught it because she was on her feet and jumping up towards it. This one I see a little bit differently. She, I don't think had the opportunity to like get down on top of it confidently, but you're right. Actually overall is a grievance that I have with her, is that she doesn't catch it enough or hold it enough. You know, but again, I have to remind myself constantly, this is like her fourth month of playing pro. So fifth month of playing pro.
So. Yeah, that's true. I forgot, actually.
Well, the thing is that for one, Emery is, I see a lot of, like, she has a lot of experience, even though she's fairly young also, but she has a lot of experience. We talked about how her coaching experience might help her. And I think Beardsley, I think is, unless we bring in like a true number one notable name, like a Hope Heisley or somebody like that, I think Beardsley may be in a pole position for that spot based on her ability and her like ceiling, but she still has a lot to learn and a lot of experience to gain. And I think that's why she's come back in, is because Beardsley was starting, and then she was out for national team duty for one game. And then after that, Emery kind of earned the spot and was playing a lot more. And then Emery had like a bad two games and Beardsley came back in. And so like, I think it's like between them makes me feel like Schneider might be out of the picture. Again, we're talking about next year.
Weird to me.
I don't think Schneider was that great this year. And while we didn't give her a lot of, our defense was rough and there were a lot of shots on her, I definitely enjoyed what I saw out of Emery and Beardsley more in terms of shot stopping. So if that's the way the rotation's going, so be it. I would still hope that we bring in, like I said, a true, like, notable name number one, and then maybe Beardsley can support her. I don't know what that means for Emery, but I do like the idea of having a young player with a high ceiling, like Liz Beardsley, being in development and being able to step in and, like, you know, getting tutelage under a more experienced player. But yeah, I think what I was getting at, this is like a huge sidebar now. What I was getting at is that I think we were intending to have Beardsley play. Emery earned the spot for a little bit, but I think she's like shown something new in training that she didn't necessarily have before. And I think I agree with that, because my only grievance is that she punches away too often. There is like a lack of experience there, knowing when to trap the ball or to catch it and to punch it away. But otherwise, I think her shot stopping has been really good. And also, I mean, we all voted on Instagram, so I'm not going to say that like the league agrees, but she did win save of the month. So she does have shot stopping in her. I actually, earlier this game, she made a great save like over the bar. So, I think that's like the way, at least what I'm interpreting. I don't have any like inside info. It feels like we're intending her to be our number one, or if we pick up a banger number one, like a solid number two to support. And that's why like she's getting these starts. But we signed her in January and she was in college last year. So yeah, that is like a reminder that we're still looking at her like not as her performances right now are her career, like goalkeepers. I think goalkeepers peak later than field players. You know, we see 30, 35 year old goalkeepers still doing amazing things in world football for national teams and domestically as well. So like, that's just, she has a long way to go before she's like that experienced. So we give her a little bit of grace, but you know, catch it every once in a while.
Okay. 62nd minute. Henny gets a yellow. It's a foul on Jasmine Hameed. Minute or two later, Jenny Lee gets the ball to Helferty right outside the D. She takes a touch, turns inside towards the goal, and rips a shot. Probably the second best shot of the night at that point. The keeper has to make a huge save.
I so like.
I have to give it to Jilly for that one.
I like.
Helferty, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say I like Helferty bringing some pressure towards the top of the D and ripping one, because while Giamona usually fills that position, she has been playing a little bit more passive and has been collecting the second or third ball and then ripping a shot. And she got a great goal out of it the other week. But I think having a couple players that can rotate in, we've talked about how Listro doesn't very often put herself in offensive positions. You know, she's just an enforcer, a physical defender. I think Helferty has a little bit more of like finesse about it and could be like a sneaky fourth attacker, you know, fifth attacker, that if everyone else has coverage, you know, I would like to see this play run again. And I just love when like defensive midfielder or even a center back just like gets upfield and rips one. And when those go in, like one of my favorite Rowdy's goals of all time is Domaduro, who was playing essentially the same position as like Helferty does, as like a defensive midfielder, just like ripped one from like, it felt like almost midfield, you know, rose tinted glasses. It probably wasn't that far out, but like, that's like his only goal for the Rowdies. And it's like one of the most memorable things ever, because he just like shot from half field and banged it into the top corner. So nice. I do always like that. I would like to see plays like that run more often, because a second, third option can be really helpful. If Nicello gets a nice dribble, but is, you know, they're going to put two on her. Giamona has scored a couple goals recently. They're going to have at least one covering her. It's like, but who's this random midfielder coming up out of nowhere? Collecting it. And Shimkin's had a good eye for things like that too. I've seen her get some good crosses in lately, so certified fresh movement there.
84th minute, or I'm sorry, 65th minute. We bring Weber in for Giamona, and JD's prayers have been answered. We have Faith Weber and Connors on at the same time.
It wasn't real. We still played Connors up front. We had Weber on the wing. No, I know what you like mean. It just sucks because that's like, it's like the opposite of what I wanted. Like, no, I don't want. They were like both.
No, I want Connors and Faith Weber on the. No, not like that. Not like that.
I'm moving the goalpost. Yeah, I found that interesting. I mean, they are strikers, so that they played like kind of a dual striker, but Weber was the one who was in more of a supporting role. Not for me, but they at least got him on the field. Maybe next game they got him on the field at the same time this time. So maybe next game. And unfortunately we have injuries. So they do need different starters. Maybe we'll see. Maybe DSB will be forced to my optimized starting lineup because we have injuries now. So she has no choice but to go with what I want.
66th minute, Nocello is looking for a penalty. She sold it pretty well, but it was too soft and just outside the box, so no dice. We completely waste the resulting incredibly close free kick, though. It was very disappointing.
Tim Bisson FC.
Yep. 75th minute. Oh my god. Helfrich gets blasted in the jaw. She took it like a boxer. She is a champion. I love her.
Yeah. My note was Helfrich effing dies, LOL.
Yeah.
She got like fully knocked down. And then she sat up and she's like, it's chill. Whatever.
It's fine.
Whatever. No worries.
84th minute. We bring Provo in. We sub Listro out. We bring Sandrine in. We bring Helfrich out. And funny little tidbit, Sandrine is 7 and then Helfrich is 77. So it was like 777.
Cool.
I don't know. Numbers. 84th minute, Shea Connors is still trying. God bless her. She has another shot. It's deflected. We get a corner, but Weber heads it over. And that is pretty much game.
Yeah. Nothing happened in the last 10 minutes, essentially.
No.
Well, you know, you're not going to win them all, and you're not going to win most of them, and you're not even going to win a quarter. So, and that's what it is.
Yeah. We had 10 shots total, with 4 on target. We did gain a little more possession. We had 44% of the ball. We had 6 corners. 6 that we did nothing with. Yay.
I don't remember a single one of them.
What?
I don't remember a single one of them.
No.
I just watched the game like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. That's how memorable they were.
Yeah.
Dallas, 2 goals, 11 shots, 7 on target. They had the other 56% of the ball, 4 corners, and 2 yellows.
Who was your player of the match?
It is a combination of Shea Connors and Carly Giamona. Only because Carly comes off. Yeah. She comes off, but I have to hand it to her because she was working her butt off. And Shea Connors, like I said, God bless her, 84th minute, still trying to get us anything, like a pity goal.
Yeah, I have a combo as well for mine. I have Carly, and I have Jill Shimkin as well. I think she did a lot with what she had, but if she had started the game, I think if she was there, it would have been different. I had her a little bit more locked in. So obviously we didn't score anything. She wasn't on the score sheet. You know, she didn't do anything unbelievable, but she was really solid and I liked her performance in this game. So she's been one of our most heads up, and like a million cliches just came to mind that I'm not going to say any of them. She plays really heads up, and she had an eye for good opportunities this game. And so if she had played the whole time, I think she probably would have been my full on player of the match, but she does share the duties with Carly for the same reason.
Okay.
What were your takeaways, if any?
We looked blech.
Yeah.
The game was fun, though. Like I said, the kids that were there, as the Huey section has become, a majority children for some reason. I don't know. They just really like banging on the drums, honestly. And we're here for it, especially when we're already down by two.
They have the only ones. I will say that actually, it was like the 84th minute or something, and the Heat Wave sounded great on the broadcast.
That's because the kids were like, "Okay, what do we play next?" Yeah. Okay, what do we play next? And they're like, "No, we want, give us something harder." And I was like, "Shit."
Good. That's the kind of pressure that if I had a voice after the 15th minute, I would be putting on everyone. But I don't have anything left usually by the 15th minute. So, like we already discussed, we looked fine in the second half. Nothing to write home about. Turned the team over in the offseason. But it was probably because Dallas eased up on pressure. They probably, if they really, really wanted to, this probably could have been a 3-0, 4-0 for Dallas. I'm not going to say that's true. I was going to say we didn't deserve to score a goal this game. But actually, I don't believe that. We had two really good opportunities, I would say. The early one from Connors, and then the Hail Free shot as well. I liked that one. And I think those were like genuinely pretty solid opportunities. Ultimately, you know, they were saved pretty easily. And overall, we're moving the ball a little bit differently than we did a few games ago. So Lexington, who I would rate as a better team than Dallas, we had so few passes into the final third. We had nothing going on offensively. Dallas let us play a little bit more, and we actually had more passes into the final third than they did. But this is my issue with like the current Tampa Bay Sun, is we had way less passes in the final third. We get it up there, and then we either like try to solo run it and lose it, Sidney Nocello, or we like pass it once and lose it, Jill Shimkin. So those kinds of things are, or Carly Jimona or every other player. Those kinds of things are what's frustrating about it, is like, okay, we actually move the ball well. We had like two good opportunities, but statistically two is not near enough to earn one goal. Our XG was 0.67, I think. So like, that's not that we need it to be at least one. We should have had at least one more opportunity if we're going by that, to add to our XG. So, obviously scoring goals can also happen randomly. So XG is not necessarily a guarantee, but yes, I don't
believe in XG. I think it's the well stat.
It's fine. I think it's fine. I definitely am not like, if we lose a game but we had more XG, that does not mean anything to me, because I know that goals have to be worked, but just as often it feels like they can happen from zero XG or like a very low percentage, because like things bounce around or wind catches something or the keeper blinked and, you know, missed the millisecond of the shot. You know, it's like there are like very minuscule factors that don't get counted on the score sheet. But overall, I mean, I think it's a fair representation. Dallas had over, I think they were 1.3 and they scored two goals. So they outperformed their XG, and we had 0.6 or whatever, and we underperformed it. I think that's fair. We could have had a goal in this game, but it wouldn't have mattered because it would have been 2-1. So ultimately, there's promise, and that's how I feel about this roster, is like, if we keep four of these players and turn over the rest, I think there's a good team there. It's just, unfortunately, there are the rest of them currently rostered too. And I can't even name names in that. If you asked me to name the four players I'd want to keep, I don't have a great answer for you right now. I'm not the coach. But yeah, it's just another example of why this year has sucked so bad, is we just can't win a game. We can't score a goal, you know. But other teams have been scoring goals and have things to play for, including Dallas. They did not clinch by winning our game. That was a possibility, but I think it was Spokane also won. So if they had lost, they would have clinched, but Spokane also won. So we have this new crazy situation that Liz is going to explain in a second, but I'm going to give you a table rundown of just like the numbers real quick. Jacksonville and Lexington are still in contention for the Shield, technically. Lexington has a higher goal differential. So if miraculously well, Lexington winning is not miraculous against us. If Lexington win and miraculously Jacksonville loses to Spokane, Lexington could win the Shield on goal difference. So that's an interesting tidbit at the top of the table. Carolina is down below them at 48. So they are out of Shield contention, but they could still pass Lexington for a home playoff game. Now that would be a miracle if we beat Lexington, but below them is Dallas. So they got the 3 points from us. They're on 37. Spokane right behind them is on 36. And these are the only two teams in contention. Like I said, Liz will explain that situation in a second. DC was eliminated. They are only on 33, so they cannot catch up. And they've actually played their last game of the season already. So DC, 33 points is all they will have. They lost their last two games. They put themselves out of contention. So it goes. Brooklyn, Tampa Bay Sun, Fort Lauderdale United are bringing up the rear as we have almost the whole season. But the notable thing here is that Brooklyn is on 26. We are on 24 and Fort Lauderdale is on 23 and all of us play one more game. So the math is if Brooklyn loses, Tampa Bay Sun could theoretically finish seventh if we win, but that would require us beating Lexington. So it seems pretty unlikely, but what we really need to happen is that we get Fort Lauderdale to lose or we draw. Like if we can draw, that would be crazy. Fort Lauderdale plays, I wrote it down somewhere. Fort Lauderdale plays Dallas, actually, yes.
Yeah. So Dallas is going to be gunning.
Yes. Dallas played really well against us. They won it. They might just do the score two goals and then lift, but that was fine. It worked out for them. I would totally be satisfied with that. So essentially what we're hoping for is a Tampa Bay Sun and Fort Lauderdale United loss. Which would lock us in for eighth place. Thus, the table is not alphabetical. The rest of the table is not alphabetical. It's just the joke that at the beginning of the season, when they do the alphabetical table, the Sun were at the bottom, and we pretty much never moved off the bottom. So if we can prove that the table is not alphabetical by the last game, that would be pretty nice. But between Dallas and Spokane, Liz, give me the rundown.
All right, so this is all off the league website. So Dallas will clinch their playoff spot if they beat Fort Lauderdale. That's the first one. They just got to beat them. They end on 40 points. They cannot be caught. If for whatever reason, Fort Lauderdale comes in and draws them, they will end at 38 points. And they will need Spokane to draw or lose against Brooklyn. So now for Spokane to win that final playoff spot, and that's fourth. So they're not getting a home playoff match or anything like that. It's just to make the playoffs. Spokane needs to win against Brooklyn and Dallas has to lose or draw Fort Lauderdale. I realize I'm saying the same thing like over, but sometimes it helps to reiterate.
How on the last week of the season are the two teams gunning for playoff spots playing basically against two teams at the bottom? Like that feels convenient. Lexington plays us, that's like their best chance to get to the top of the table, and Jacksonville plays does Jacksonville play Spokane? No, it's Brooklyn that plays Spokane. Who's Jacksonville play? They play Carolina. Oh, they play Carolina. So Carolina is also a good team. Carolina is also towards the top of the table. They're on 48 points. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for Lexington fans that Lexington wins against us and Jacksonville loses against Carolina. Like that is a possibility because Carolina is good. It's just kind of funny that like Dallas Spokane are playing trash to see, like there's a good chance they both just win and then Dallas is the team that's in. So
yeah,
we'll see.
That is kind of what I'm expecting. I'd like to see Spokane in just because I like the chaos, honestly. But I do kind of think it's going to be it's Dallas is going to secure that last spot. Unfortunately, they are playing Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale has five straight losses at least.
Yeah.
That's all they can show on the form. It might be more.
Yeah. Yeah. I am never going to cheer for Fort Lauderdale. So
no, absolutely not.
I hope Dallas smashes them. And then the implication is that they go through. So I guess I want Dallas to go through. My friend Zach will be happy.
All right, last match of the season. We're playing the number two team on the table.
Away. Who's
gunning for first? We're gonna get murdered.
I don't know, you know.
Didn't they beat us like 4-1 last time? Yeah, 4-0.
4-0, yeah.
Yeah.
We've learned lessons since then. We've been watching tape, you know. We have more injured players now.
Yeah, we have more injured players. Do you know how many injured players they have?
How many?
Big fat goose egg. I've never seen a blank availability report.
Going into ridiculous. The playoffs.
Never in the history of the Sun has that existed. Mostly because of Yuki. But
well, I was going to say, what we learned earlier this year is the Sun just cuts injured players. So that was a low blow. I'm sorry. We love you, Kaylin Marchese. Sorry about that. My note on this game is there's genuinely no point to anything anymore. I've taken the nihilism approach. I'll watch the game, certainly. And I hope that it is not, I hope nobody comes away from it injured. And that's all I can really hope for.
I don't even know if I'm going to watch the game like actively while it's on.
I mean, I certainly will because I always like watching the Sun play football. And that's why it's so painful, is because I genuinely love my team and I always enjoy watching them play. Like, that is just a fact of my life, is that if we're getting smashed and I am screaming at the players, in Discord, I feel terrible about it a couple weeks ago, but we conceded a goal and I was like, everyone on this team is a fucking loser. That's my F-bomb for this show. I typed it in Discord. And even then, at my most furious, I watched the rest of the game because I enjoy watching the team that I love play. So that is how I treat it. I will watch the game. Unfortunately, though, yeah, we do have those new additions to the injury report in Provenzano and Haugen. Did you see Provenzano's injury? Because she came on in like the 80-something minute. She came on right at
the
end.
No, but I think she's a little bit like Zaid, where she's just kind of been nursing something.
Okay. And that explains why she's
maybe
been.
She's just been a little more fit to be on the roster. And now it's like, no, we don't need to take that chance or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And then obviously, yeah, Haugen had something theoretically more serious happen. We don't have any news on that. If we do find out, I will say usually we find out things like that from players' individual posts as well. The team never announces anything. And we don't really get like regular press conferences where we get to ask those kinds of things. So, yeah, that is, if you want to know before we can tell you, follow her on Instagram because she might say something about it. But the most likely thing is that she will not, and we'll find out, you know, during the off season at some point or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I guess I wrote down here kind of the situation. We just have to make sure Fort Lauderdale also loses. I'm not even going to say like we need a win to stay ahead. We just have to make sure Fort Lauderdale also loses, but Dallas, since they guarantee themselves playoffs with a win, that is going to be, they didn't even need to win our game like as badly. Like, this is the one they like need, like they should put 5 past them. If I'm Dallas, I want that. So there's a really,
I was a little surprised though that they didn't go harder because their goal differential is friggin' awful.
Yeah, but
and it'll matter if
you can do it on points though.
Yeah.
Like, they know they were playing us and Fort Lauderdale. So they're like, if we can just get the points, that's all that matters. You know?
That's fair. So, I don't know. What if Allie Long comes in at something earlier than the 83rd minute? it's just what changes the whole game.
A 3-year retired player coming in and running, like, just turning the league over would be abysmal for the league. That would be completely damning, I would say. Yeah. So
I do have to hand it to Allie Long though. She got roasted in the comments of the final from our game, and she took it like a champ.
Oh really?
She responded to someone saying like she comes on and then immediately loses her mark, and she just responded with just laughing emojis.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, she's been around the block. I'm sure she's dealt with a lot of hate. Yeah. So she's a seasoned veteran. It is cool that she's around overall. But I would like to see more of what the Sun have been doing in terms of signings moving forward. I mean, you know, we'll have offseason episodes.
Sun. Sam Kerr is available. so get on that. Thank you.
If we could not unretire people, and instead like a young, you know, a young base. I mean, this is for the league overall. But there's some good players out there. So I would love to see
how about Vivian Medema? That'd be dope.
I'd love to poach.
I'm just going to name ridiculous players that the Sun can never afford.
Let's get Tosh Flynn back.
No.
Let's poach her back.
No, she's flourishing in Denver. She's so happy.
She, you know, run it back. Championships a year apart. Yeah, well, I don't think there's really much of a desire to do any watch parties or anything for this game.
Yeah, I noticed that I've mentioned it multiple times to front office in the past like month or two and nothing.
We'll just all head to Upper 90 in Fort Worth, Texas, because that's a place that I guarantee they'll put on a Sun game. I was actually, I was going to head to Babes, which is the women's sports bar in Chicago, for the Stars game, but it is a little bit too far out of town. Chicago's a big place. Like, everything is like 30 minutes apart if you're looking at like touristy spots.
Is it worse than Tampa?
It's definitely more centralized than Tampa, but every neighborhood has its own stuff. So like Wrigley is north, Rate, which is where the White Sox play, is south. Downtown does have Soldier Field, so like the Bears play. I just learned that the Stars, who were playing at SeatGeek Stadium, which is 45 minutes, it's where the Fire used to play.
Yeah, they moved.
Yeah, yeah. So they used to play 45 minutes out of town. They moved to a new stadium, and it's 45 minutes out of town, but it's north now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed it. They were 10 minutes away.
No, they were in Kansas City, so that's a little bit further. But
yeah,
for their home games, it tickled me that it was like, oh, they moved presumably to improve their situation. And it's like, no, they seemingly moved to like a lower cap venue, and now their percentage full is better because they still get 6,000 people out, but now that's out of 10,000 instead of out of 25 or whatever. It looks like there's at least like rumblings of them wanting to play at, now it's called McDonald's Field, which is crazy. That's the Chicago Fire new stadium, which is in downtown. Like, you can see Soldier Field from it, and you can see it from Soldier Field, which Soldier Field was well transit connected. It's actually the regional transit. It's a train line, not the subway, but that's fine. It still works. And
public transit.
Yeah. And it was like very, it was a cool match day experience. And so if they literally just move like two blocks over and that new stadium, that the Fire want to build there, if the Stars could be there, that would be fantastic. Cause I think the thing about Chicago is all the neighborhoods are spread out around the downtown area. So it's like, if you are in downtown, you are still 30 minutes from everyone in the suburbs, but now it's 30 minutes from every suburb, instead of if you're 30 minutes north of downtown, you're an hour from everyone to the south. And I think that's kind of like the issue that like the Fire dealt with when they were in SeatGeek Stadium, which is like way outside, past the airport, outside of downtown, and that the Stars are probably currently dealing with. You know, you just can't draw people. Yeah, but we didn't get a chance to go to Babes, but that is in Chicago. I am going back up there, so we'll see what's going on. But I think I'm going to catch a Sky WNBA game there. And the Sky are currently undefeated, so that could be cool. I will report back if that's any good. But, you know, I love to support my women's sports, so I always try to make it happen. We were actually in a random restaurant bar, neighborhood bar thing, and they put on the Stars game. So I will say that Chicago knows ball, and they did just put it on without requesting because it was a Chicago team playing. They also had like a Notre Dame lacrosse game on. So like, it was just current happening sports, but it's nice that the women's pro team is included in what's currently happening in the city of Chicago.
It's nice that you don't get who?
Yeah.
When you ask.
Yeah. Or frantically explaining over the phone to a bartender that like, no, it's on Peacock. The same thing. Like, I know you show Premier League games. Like, I know you can show it. Like, stop doubting me. That's like the conversation I had over the phone. So, it's kind of wild, but hopefully we have more options next season. I mean, we can always find a home bar maybe and get them to subscribe to Peacock, convince them.
All right, and that was JD's Geography Corner.
Happy to do it. Every time I travel to a city, I absolutely will talk about the layout and the public transit options.
We love it. I am. Tell me about the things we don't have, aka public transit.
Yeah.
That's reliable.
If you want to see me public transit musing the Heatwave Discord, we have discussions frequently and I always complain. So
I want to say that about wraps it up. So make sure you are subscribed, hit the like button if you're watching us on YouTube where you can see our beautiful faces and also my super cool matching jersey nails. Look at that. Look at that. Yo. Look how pretty they are. Don't mind my cuticles. Don't worry about that. Look at the pretty gradient. We are at RBLR Sports on the YouTubes. I should have said that. At RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Those are our socials. You can come find us on all of the places. I'm mostly on Blue Sky. JD's more on Twitter. We kind of split up that way. And make sure you go to shop.rblr.com. Go get your merch. Go get your gear for next year. And for all the other awesome sports teams that we cover here on RBLR, use Heatwave for 10% off.
Good.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll see you.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.